Who likes to be in control? Who wants to be in control? Don't we like to be in control? You get to make the decisions. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it be? How do many of you like to be able to say, you go do this, and you know that it gets done? You get to tell somebody to go somewhere and do some kind of labor. I was in the family business, and for 17 years, I was a boss. And I would go to somebody, and I'd say, Ann, go sweep the warehouse. And Ann had to sweep the warehouse, didn't you? She never worked for me, but if she did, Ann would be a sweeper. She ain't strong enough to do much else. We was in the tire business, you got to understand. And so I don't think she could have handled the tires very well, truck tires, that is, especially. But we like to be in control. We want to know if we tell somebody, especially if you're a boss in a business or the boss in your family. Who's the boss in their family? Yeah, I see two people that are married to each other. Both of them's raising their hands. Okay. So we tell each other, we tell ourselves. We get to be the boss. We get to tell somebody. And we're in control. Are we really in control? You raise your hand as the boss of your family. Are you really in control? Yeah. We know you're not. Okay. Women think, men claim it. Women think it. I don't know. But listen, let me tell you how I know that we're really not in control. I spent 9.5 years in Albany running a tire shop of ours over there. And I was the boss. When we first started, we had 4 employees in the back in the production, a secretary, and a route man, and then myself. And I would tell our men what to do. And they had to do it. But they really didn't. Because Fred, who had been there for 17 years, my father sent me over there. I was 22 years old. And I'll go over to Albany to run this store with a foreman that had been in this business that we had for 17 years, thought he was the boss. So I'd tell Fred and I'd tell the men what the day would look like. I say, okay, let's get it done. I go back to the office, start making phone calls, getting prepared to go out and make sales. I'd walk out the warehouse, and those 4 guys, it was 4 guys and Fred, so there was 5 in the back. Those guys would look to Fred and say, what are we going to do, Fred? Didn't matter what I said. And I thought I was in control. I'll tell you how out of control I was. 4 of them I had to pick up and bring to work. I told him, you better find your own way to work. But for about a month, I was going and picking up my employees so I could have a workforce. And I wasn't in control. I'm saying, get your own vehicle. Find your own way to work if you want a job. But where was I at every morning? Running a taxi cab. So I'd have people at work. One Saturday morning, I'll tell you how out of control it was and our lack of control I had. Saturday morning, I'm knocking on one of the employees. He's got in a trailer about a mile down from the shop. Come on, let's go. He had overslept. I'm no control. And I'm sitting there beating on the door, and this little old scrawny dog comes up behind me, and he's just a yapping. Rawr, 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 acting like he wants to eat me alive. I had control of this situation. I turned around at that dog, and I said, get back, dog. Get back, dog. And I had my back to the trailer, okay? And so I'm saying, get back, dog. And then I'm, get up, got to go to work. Get back, dog. And about that time, I hear a growl. And I turn around, and there's this white pit bulldog has come out from under the trailer, and he's just staring at me. I mean, he's right here. He's fixing to eat me alive. You know what happened? How much am I in control? The little dog bit me on the back of my leg. I had to get 3 stitches. No control. I thought I had control of the situation. Not in control. We are not in control of our lives, are we? But there is one who is in control. That's God. God is in control of all things. He is sovereign. He makes all the decisions in life. The past ones our decisions today and tomorrow. I want you to understand what I mean by that throughout this morning. God is in control in the good and in the bad, in the things that bring us joy and the things that bring us suffering and sadness and heartache. I want to read two verses of a passage of Scripture this morning from Daniel. Daniel spent a lot of time explaining dreams. And I'm not going to get into the story of Daniel. I just want you to hear a proclamation by King Nebuchadnezzar. And we're not going to break down that. We're going to talk about what it really meant, what he said. Not about King Nebuchadnezzar, not about Daniel, not about the dreams and all the interpretations and all that. We're not going to spend our time. But I want you to hear in chapter 4 of Daniel, verses 34 and 35. And then I'm going to share with you some stories. Okay? This is Nebuchadnezzar, and you knew who he was, an evil king. He took over and held the Hebrew people as slaves. But he made this comment right here. When he realized who this great God of ours was, he said this in verses 34 and 35. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What have you done? What have you done?" He says, you cannot ask God, "What have you done, God?" We can't look to Him and say, "Hey, God, what's up?" We are not in control. God is. And what does it mean when I say God is sovereign? What does it mean for you and I? And why can't we ask the question? Let me ask you a question. Is anybody in this room right now that's struggling with something? Anybody want to raise your hand? Anybody struggling? Gosh. Anybody in this room hurting? Right. Is anyone in this room this morning needs a sovereign God to give some answers? Nebuchadnezzar says, don't ask. Nebuchadnezzar says, no. You see, we see through our limited eyes. We see through the lenses of humanity that don't understand, can't comprehend. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we as humanity still struggle and we ask questions. We must recognize that God is in control of everything. When we are hurting, God is in control. When we are suffering, God is in control. When we are jobless, God is in control. When we are losing our families, God is in control. Why can't we ask the question? Because God created this world we live in. He set the standards and He truly is in control. We must, in these difficult times in our life, praise God in all things. Some of you know this story, many of you do not. You don't know it in detail. I had two brothers. Dale is 11 months older than me. My deceased brother, Mark, was 11 months younger than me. I'll get that, three of us born in 33 months. Me and my brother, Mark, were born the same year. Dale was born February 27th of 61. I was born January 20th of 62. My brother Mark was born on Christmas Day of 62. It was a tight little gang. Nobody messed with us. They messed with one of us. They got all three of us. Just the way it was. And when we weren't getting them for picking on us, we was getting each other. We fought like cats and dogs and loved like cats and dogs. we were. It was just the way it was growing up. But my brother Mark got divorced from his wife. And for several years, he struggled. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I think he had something. He might have been kind of bipolar or something. I don't know, because he could be extremely high one day, and he could be like an ant in a valley the next day. He struggled, and he hurt, and he suffered for so long. And after he got divorced, he had two small daughters, and I don't blame my ex-sister-in-law, but she made it very difficult on Mark. The weekend he was supposed to get her, she'd take him and leave town. Or she wouldn't let Mark have his daughters for the weekend. He hurt. He hurt often. And he hurt for a long time. And we'd wonder, why is he having to go through all this? You could see the suffering. You could see the pain. And it would make us hurt for him. And he'd see those girls very little because she wouldn't let him, and courts would tell her, and that she'd still ignore it. And in 1989, I mean, he was just suffering so, he was hurting so much emotionally. The day after Christmas in 1989, Mother told me on the day before, we was in Baxley. We came home that Christmas night. Mother and Daddy went to Alabama to my mother's granddaddy's, my mother's daddy's house and Mama, to spend the night like we always did growing up. And Mark was at our house, Mother and Daddy's house, by himself. Spent Christmas night by himself. And Mother said, "Joey, keep in touch with your brother. He's not feeling good. He's hurting. He's suffering." So I called him the next morning, and we began to talk, and he began to cry. And he said, "Joey," that's what I called growing up. You don't do that, okay? He said, "Joey, I'm tired. I'm so, so tired." I still hear him saying that. And I said, "What is it?" He goes, "You got your family. Dale's got a family. And I don't have one." He says, I can't go on anymore. He said, "I've done this too long. I can't take it anymore." And he said, "I'm going to kill myself." And I said, "You can't do that." So I talked to him for probably 2 hours on the phone. I wouldn't let him hang up. And we talked, and he says, "I'm not going to do nothing. Don't you worry." And I said, "Mother and Daddy's on the way home. They'll be home in about 2 hours." I talked to them, and they were just leaving Alabama. They're going to be home. He goes, "Joey, don't you worry. I'm not going to do anything. I promise." And I hung up the phone, and I wish I hadn't. Tried to call him back, and he didn't answer. Called Annette, and I said, "We got to go to Baxley." A few minutes later, he shot himself and killed himself. And I'm asking God, "Why did you let this happen? Why would you let my brother kill himself?" Now, I really truly don't believe he tried to kill himself. I think he needed help and didn't know how to get it. He was in the military. He was an expert marksman. Had badges and things for his shooting abilities. He had a .357 and a .22. When they found him, he didn't use a .357. He used a .22. He shot himself right here. There's not anything that'll kill you right here, up in the top of your chest. But the .22 bullet's so fragile, it hit a bone, made it go downward, and it went through his lungs and his liver and killed him. I really don't believe he wanted to, but for a long time, I struggled because I didn't do enough. I didn't call the law. I didn't call the neighbor to go check on him. And I cried every day for 2 or 3 years. I couldn't quit crying. But in the midst of this, let me tell you why I tell you this story. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to know that in the midst of that, God was still in control. God was in control of the whole situation. He didn't kill my brother. My brother killed himself. Could he have saved him? I come to the conclusion, yes, he could have. God saves people every day. But he allowed it to happen. And let me tell you how I know God was in control. It's that it saved my life. It turned my life around. And God placed his hands upon me and said, Joey, it's going to be okay. I've got your brother. I know my brother was saved. I grew up with him. We got baptized at the same day. Me, Dale, and Mark, all three of us were baptized on the same morning. God was in control then. But he allows this world to function. And with sin in the middle of this world, things happen. People suffer. People die. And most of the time, it's not like we choose. It's not like we want. My mother, my father was a broken man after that. Felt like a failure. My mama didn't know what to do. That was in December 26th of 89. A year and a half later, my mother's father died from a stroke. And then June of 93, so it was barely 3.5 years, my father died. He and my mother were both electrocuted, working on a outdoor carport for my grandmother. And my father died in my mama's arms. They both got electrocuted, but my mama lived and my daddy died. And those questions, why? Why didn't you save my daddy? Why did you let my mama live and let my daddy die? And in the midst of that, I knew God was still in control. Because through suffering and through hurting and through pain, God shows you just how much he loves you. Let me tell you, the closest I've ever felt with God was in the most difficult periods in my life. My mama, how do you survive when you lose a son, a daddy, and a husband in just over 3 years? They were married 32 years, something, I don't know, a long time. But my mama's faith is strong. Do we still cry? Yes. Do we still suffer? Certainly. But we don't question God, because he is still sovereign. And he's still in control of this world. And I know in this room, there are people suffering. And I say to you today, God is still in control. He is still sovereign. He still loves you. And if he chooses to take you home today, you're going to be in a better place anyway. The rest of us will hurt, but you will be where God wants you to be ultimately, and that's in the hands of Christ, worshiping and praising a sovereign God. I ask you this morning to consider this. I ask you to recognize life isn't easy. Life's going to bring pain. You're going to hurt. You're going to lose people you love. But God is still in control. Our God never changes. Though he does change his mind. That's why we still gather here, and that's why we still throw our petitions up to God. He can choose to save you. And however he chooses, his salvation for you may be to take away your cancer. It may be to save your family that is falling apart. Abraham, when God told him he was going to destroy Sodom, pleaded with God and said, what if I can find 50 people? Will you change your mind, God, and not destroy this city? He said, yes. He goes, well, what if I can find just 45? Yes, 40. Yes, 30. Yes, 20. God wanted and says in that passage, I can do what I want to do. I can change my mind if I want to. I'm still sovereign. But then he didn't, so he destroyed Sodom. And God does not destroy us, but he brings his love to us in our most difficult times. Lynette shared with me a passage of scripture that brings comfort to her. Lynette is my wife, for any of you who might not know who that is. She's right there. She's kind of medium blonde now. She was real light blonde 2 weeks ago and brown 2 weeks before that. And so that's her. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9 brings her comfort. And it's good. I want you to hear these words. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved with various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, even in the most difficult times in life, God is glorified because he loves and reveals himself in a way that we can't experience God if we're not tested with trials. God was at my side and has been all of my life. But when I cried every day for 2 years after my brother died, I found that God was so real and he was with me, and he helped me get up every single day to live and to proclaim that God is king. He is the creator. And he is sovereign. And he is in control. And my brother does reside with him in heaven. And that I will as well. And God spoke to me, and I've shared with you some of my dreams, but God spoke to me in my most darkest days, in visions and in dreams, that said, "It's okay, Joey. I love you. I love your family. And they're going to be okay." We must not look at our most difficult parts and walks in life and question God. We can only praise him so that he can grant us his mercy and his love. God is sovereign. So don't ask, "Hey God, what's up?" Say, "God, I love you. And I'm going to glorify you. And I'm going to praise you in all things. I love a sovereign God who does not change but loves you and I." Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being in control, because, God, I couldn't do it. I don't want to be in control. I don't want to have the decisions concerning life and death. I don't want to have the decisions to be made. I want you to make them for me. I want you to reveal to me, God, if I should turn left or right. I want you to tell me, God, what's right and wrong. I don't want to be in control. I want you to be my Father and instruct me and guide me. Lord, that is my prayer for each one of us here this morning. That you will reveal to each one of us that you are in control. Even when our families are falling apart. Even when death is knocking on its door. God, let us experience your love.
Let us experience your sovereignty. Let us praise you in all things and not question you, but love you. Father, I know there's so many people in this room and all over this community and world that are hurting. So we ask in with petitions that you grant them your peace, your power, your healing, your miracle. And may we praise you just as if we just received the gift of salvation. Let us praise you when our hearts are breaking. We love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name, God, I lift you up. God, I glorify and praise you. Amen.